going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a Friday. Time for our best bets with our friend, the prop queen, Ariel Epstein, who joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Ariel, thank you as always for your time. Before we get to your picks, it is NFL draft time, and the first round was last night. You are a Ravens super fan. So what do you think of Malachi Starks?
Guys, this was the best case scenario for the Ravens. And thanks for having me on, as always, on a Friday. I was so excited. I was FaceTiming with my dad and my brother, who are also diehard Ravens fans. I've been waiting all week. Ever since speaking to a few NFL draft analysts, they said, if Malachi Starks can somehow fall to the Ravens, it would be a dream. I just watched the Ravens social media video with defensive coordinator Zach Orr, who got on the phone. You could see how giddy he was because Starks is so versatile. He could be the next Ed Reed of the Ravens. He's so good at reading plays, and he is just, you could throw him all over the field, and we could put Kyle Hamilton wherever the heck we want. It's going to be awesome to watch this defense.
Well, Ariel, let's get to the other Baltimore birds. And we just heard Brandon Hyde last segment talk about, oh my gosh, all these tough starters that they're going to have to go up against in Detroit. And they got Mize tonight, Casey Mize. Is it going to be more tough sledding for this offense?
It's going to be tough for the lefties in this offense. So Mize has done a really good job against lefty bats. He's dominated them. They're batting 111 in 45 at-bats with 14 strikeouts and just 5 hits. Lefties have 9 strikeouts, and they're 2-for-18 against Mize's splitter. So any of the lefties in the Orioles lineup, we're talking like Gunnar, Holiday, O'Hearn, it might be a struggle for them today against Casey Mize in Detroit.
Yeah, and then they get Scooble. So
and the Orioles are great against lefties. He might be the best lefty, so that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I don't know if this factors into any of your wagering, Ariel, but Brandon Hyde basically already waved the white flag about this series.
Yeah. That's what I said. Yeah
it's like it's,
tough
yeah.
starters.
Yeah,
well,
it's,
that's a great mindset.
It's over before it started. Yeah, it's great. It's great. You are the prop queen. Is Michael King the strikeout king? And what will the former Bronx Bomber do for the Padres tonight, or as I like to call them, the Swinging Friars?
I like that.
Michael King is a pretty good strikeout king, except he's got a bad matchup tonight for it against the Tampa Bay Rays. This number at 6.5 just feels a bit too high for King's strikeout prop, so I would go to the under. In the only start that King had this year against the low carry team, he had 2 strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings against the Athletics. I just have to continue to tell everybody, wins and losses are not correlated to strikeouts, by the way. So King went under 6.5 Ks in 4 or 5 starts against low K-rate teams last year. The craziest thing about Tampa is the Rays last season struck out a lot. They averaged about just over 5 strikeouts a game against starters. This year, the Rays are striking out about 3 times a game against righty starters. That's why 11 of the 17 righties to start against the Rays have gone under their strikeout prop. I would look to King under 6.5 Ks. The number's too high against Tampa.
We're talking to Ariel Epstein. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Let's go to another prop, Zach Gallen, Arizona, Atlanta. What are you looking for there?
I'm looking for a better result than last night because I took the under on Corbin Burns' Ks last night, and he burned me and went over. But I'm going to take the over today on Zach Gallen's strikeout prop, 5.5 Ks. Gallen's only faced one high K rate team this year. That was the Yankees. Gallen had 13 Ks in 6 2/3 innings against them. Last year, Gallen averaged just over 6 strikeouts a game in the 18 starts he had against the strikeout-prone lineup. So this year, ready starters, 12 of the 19 that faced the Braves have gone over their strikeout prop, averaging 5.5 Ks a game. Gallen's the ace of this staff. I would take the over 5.5 here.
Ariel, the Rockies stink. They are 4-20, but they're playing the Reds, and you have a prop involving them?
Well, actually, I call this a fishy line. So you say the Rockies stink. They do. They also just lost both games of their doubleheader in Kansas City yesterday. It made the sirens go off in my head as to why, okay, this is weird. The line's moving 10 to 15 cents against the Reds today. Of course, the Reds are the public side. 90% of action's coming in on Cincinnati. Why is the line moving against the Reds? There's one answer, and it's that the Rockies they have their lefty on the mound, Kyle Freeland. The Reds have the third lowest batting average this year against lefties. We talk about the Orioles struggles against lefties. Well, the Reds can have that too today. You could look to the Rockies first side money line, or if anything, just stay away from the Cincinnati Reds tonight. I know they're playing the Rockies, but the line's moving against them for a reason, so I would just stay away from Cincinnati.
Ariel Epstein, let the people know where they can find you.
Check me out at thepropqueen.com and live streaming 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on YouTube, X, Instagram, all at Prop Queen Sports. So follow along.
Ariel Epstein, you're the best. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll chat
next week.
You too. Have a good weekend.
It's Best Bets with Beltway Ben Hall on 105.7 The Fan.
Quickest gun this side of the Mississippi.
That was, I think, there was a good half second more than usual before he pulled the trigger. Man,
not on this game.
I'm just saying, but
wait, Chris, she said have a good weekend. I tried to let her get to have a good weekend.
Tough crowd here.
It's a weekend. She said have a good weekend. I wanted her to finish.
I thought you were going
to
cut her off. I was actually kind of rooting for you.
Actually, I don't know. Nailed it, man. During football season, she said go Ravens. In the middle of Ravens, she got cut off. But
yeah, was you did. You did. Yeah, I remember that. By the way, Ben, what are you looking at this weekend?
I have two NBA plays for tonight and then two MLB plays. We'll start with Damian Lillard, over 23.5 points. Played 37 minutes in his first game back. Things are getting feisty in the series. Halliburton's pointing, saying it's Dame time late. That definitely frustrated Dame. He averaged 26 points per game at home compared to 24.2 on the road. They're down 0-2. They need him to get going. First game back, I think he's getting his legs under him a little bit, but I think he'll shoot the ball a little bit more tonight, and 24 points should not be too much. I like Anthony Edwards over 26.5 points. He's under in both of the first two games. He returns home. This should be a closer game. The first two games were pretty weird, and first game would have went over, but left the game with cramping and then came back late. We saw what he could do in the playoffs last year. It's pretty surprising that he hasn't blown up yet. I do think in their first home game he will. Now jumping to the MLB, Ariel also liked this prop. Zach Gallen over 5.5 strikeouts at -120. Atlanta has a 24.5% K rate against right-handed pitching this season, fifth highest in the MLB. Gallen struggled this season, has to give them a good start, striking out batters at a 5% higher rate at home over the past few seasons. And then lastly, Marcus Semien over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs against Verlander, -110. Semien's been awful to start this season. He's under this in two straight games, but he does have 14 hits in 43 at-bats against Verlander in his career with two home runs. That's a lot of familiarity. I like him to go over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs.
Beltway, Ben, where can people find you?
At BH Journalist on Twitter, the streams.
Oh, I was going to say, there'll be a stream,
yes,
I hope.
Yes, we will be live again tomorrow. We've had success with them. Sunday, not sure. Last week, I was going to do a stream Sunday. Then a lot of stuff happened. I had to just post the plays, but I do plan on streaming Saturday and hopefully Sunday.
Back can't go a weekend without Beltway Ben stream.
To stream or not to stream?
His, that all over
is
me.
His stream is a dream. Anything you like this weekend, Jason?
A few things that I like tonight. In MLB, sorry O's fans, and I'm one of them, I do like the Tigers on the money line. Although I'm doing pretty good in baseball, but I hit like one of every 10 O's bets. So you should probably back the Fade. O's tonight. Yes. I like the Yankees on the money line against Toronto. I like the swinging Oakland Athletics on the money line tonight. I like the Dodgers on the run line. I'm willing to lay the 1.5 with Yamamoto on the mound against the struggling Pittsburgh Pirates. And in the NBA, I'm on the Celtics money line. I am on the Pacers over 112.5 total points. And I am on the under in the Lakers-Minnesota ball game. Doing quite well in the NBA. So might be a little parlay there. Maybe parlay those. Or do them in, doing them individually, but I'm saying.
That way, Ben, you have one
depending
more.
Depending on how you roll.
Saturday, take Tyler Hero's points. I don't know if you guys have seen the Garland. Tyler Hero doesn't play any defense.
Oh, yeah, just attack him. Yeah.
And then Tyler Hero came out and said, I don't know why a dude who doesn't play any defense is talking about my defense. Take Tyler Hero's points tomorrow.
Real quick, before we step out, some horrible news from the world of sports. As you know, the Steelers drafted Derek Harmon last night, the defensive tackle out of Oregon. His mother was on life support. He did get to go to the hospital to let him know he was drafted, but she passed away soon after.
Man.
So just horrible. Like, could you imagine the emotions going through Derek Harmon?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so she passed away. Best wishes to the Harmon family. Just awful news there.
Jeez.
But coming up next, it's T-Bone Time, TMI with TAM. What you got?
We did a segment yesterday about if all things were equal and the Ravens did have an opportunity to take an edge rusher if they wanted to at 27, would they continue to lean into the secondary, which they did? Well, I went back and looked at all of the free agent signings, all of the draft picks, and the money, the cash allocations to edge in the secondary since Eric DaCosta took over as GM in 2019, and the numbers are probably going to surprise you.
Break
That's
it down, Bone.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy, and no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
T-Bone Time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Ken, you said in the open, it's not too often you see so many mock drafts nail one guy to a team that late in the first round, but that's exactly what happened last night with the Ravens, with Malachi Starks being selected 27th overall. What wasn't surprising was the fact that the Ravens continue to lean heavily into the secondary. And Eric DaCosta was talked about using so much premium draft capital in his defense's back end.
Well, I mean, you know, usually four or five guys are playing in the secondary in any given play. So you got more guys. But secondly, you know, in my experience, like if you're going to lose a game, an easy way to lose it is by having a bad secondary. So, you know, we never want to be in that position. That's a bad place to be. And so, you know, we're going to have a strong secondary. And John was a secondary coach in Philly for a while, too. He understands the importance of it as well. And I really appreciate that because, you know, I think it's a really important, critical part of your defense.
You look at the draft capital that Eric DaCosta has used since taking over as GM from Ozzie Newsome in 2019. He's selected five cornerbacks in the first four rounds. He's used two first-round picks on a safety, one first-round pick on a corner, of course, in Nate Wiggins. You look at the swings in free agency. Earl Thomas, 4 years, $55 million, $32 million guaranteed. Marcus Williams, 5 years, $70 million, $37 million guaranteed. Some modest moves that he made, like a Ronald Darby, a one-year deal, a Rocky Asin, one-year deal. And then you look at the spending, guys. The money, not cap, dollars spent. Safeties, it kind of varies, oscillates from year to year. But 2019, they were third in safety spending. That's when they signed Earl. And then he was cut before the 2020 season, so that's why the spending plummeted the next year where they were 29th.
Did he punch Geno Stone? Was that who he punched?
Chuck Clark. Yeah. 29th in safety spending, then 22nd, 15th, 14th, 4th last year. Corner, it's nuts. 2019, they were first in cornerback spending, second in 2020, third, first, seventh, second last year. So they're pretty much top five every single year. And then you get to the edge, where we know that he appreciates pass rush, he knows pass rush. But he knows how to do it balling on a budget where
Chuck Smith is secret weapon.
He's selected five edge rushers in the first four rounds. Just two in the first two rounds with Adafe Owe and David Ajabo. But, guys, you look at the free agents and the spending. This was 2019 at Shane Ray. Remember him? 1 year, oh. $1.2 million. Pernell McPhee, 1 year, vet minimum. I'll even throw him a bone with Calais Campbell.
And Shane Ray never made the team.
No, he didn't. He didn't make the team.
Brutal.
Calais Campbell, he went out, acquired him. Not exactly an edge guy, but brought him in for pass rush. The big swing that he made in terms of draft capital was the trade for Yannick Ngakoue, saying we're not done yet.
Yeah, that was fun.
Justin Houston, 1 year, $2 million. Jadeveon Clowney, 1 year deal worth up to $6 million. Kyle Van Noy, when they initially brought him in, 1 year, $1.4 million, then re-upped, 2 year, $9 million. It's all balling on a budget, and that's illustrated in the spending. 2019, they were 31st in edge rush dollars spent. 2020 was the high water mark, 13th in edge. That was when Matt Judon was playing on the franchise tag.
Yeah.
Then they plummet, 30th, 23rd, 26th, and last year they were 29th in spending at edge rush position. Now, the past couple years, 23 and 24, they've gotten a ton of sacks.
First and second in the league.
The sack production has been there. Now, the pressure rate and the pass rush win rate, it's a different
guy
story.
Who must be double teamed more often than not and, off the edge in the playoffs rate, that's about a zero.
And that's where I'm at, where I'm not. They're zigging where a lot of teams zag, where they don't pay for pass rush. They don't use premium picks on pass rush, where they will pay for secondary. They will use premium picks for secondary. And I still have this belief, and I love the Malachi Starks pick. This isn't knocking that pick. But I still think the pendulum could swing back a little bit to the edge rush position. And I remember when they signed Marcus Williams in real time, and he got essentially the same contract as Hassan Reddick. You know, that was a big moment there where I was maybe.
Well, like, I'll say this. If Derek Harmon's on the board, I think they're taking Derek Harmon even over Malachi Starks, as much as they love Malachi Starks, as much as he's had the greatest interviews in the history of interviews. Like, I think they're taking the D-tackle with premium potential to be a pocket collapser at the next level. Like, I think even Shamar Stewart, like, that would have been a real interesting decision for them. I think they're taking Shamar Stewart over him. The fact is, that top group had been picked through, as I told you it was going to be, well before it got to the Baltimore
I'm
Ravens.
With you 100%, but I'm just,
and we know they're not trading up, so
sure,
this,
they
is,
don't.
This is how it's done.
And that's why I'm not knocking last night, and I like the domino effect of what Starks provides in terms of freeing up Hamilton, helping out Roquan, all of that. But I'm talking about the totality of now year seven of Eric DaCosta.
I am curious, and Shamar Stewart, because the edge class isn't as good as the tackle class, defensive tackle class. But I do wonder, and you were talking about earlier in the show, Jason, even Bobby D says there's a lot of talent out there in defensive tackle class. Do they still, and maybe they do get take Harmon, but because they think there's so many of these guys available.
There's not a Derek Harmon.
Nobody loves Derek Harmon like I like Derek Harmon. I just wonder where they're thinking.
I think that's it. He's in a different tier than these, you know,
day
Alfred
three guys.
Collins and Sampson and the two kids from Maryland. And I think that's a different class. Bobby D thinks, talked to him this morning, he thinks they would have taken Harmon over Starks.
He's got some insight.
He goes back 20 some years with a head coach.
Yes.
Still feeds him information on
yes,
players.
Yes, yes. Used to send him his segments.
Which he probably didn't have to because he would have heard
him. Oh, yeah, that's true. But Bobby didn't know that.
We'll see what happens today and tomorrow in terms of who they bring in edge rusher-wise, and I'm sure we're going to get into it at some point next week. But EDC is going to dip back into the cheap veteran route.
Oh,
in
I
terms
think Judon or Zedarius
exactly,
or somebody.
Exactly.
Come on down.
One of those guys is going to get brought
and
in.
And it still could be it still could be a tackle as well. I mean, they still could want to bring in a swing tackle from the outside, depending on how these next four or five picks go.
And heck, we'll see what happens at D tackle, but they need bodies right there right now because you got Nnamdi Matabike.
They're going to get bodies. I have no concerns about that.
I think so too.
I think there will be volume at that position by Monday.
Eric referred to this draft. I think his term was a flat draft, where he said, you know, you got the top, but he said it felt like everything evened out. To Jason's point, I think there could be multiple on day three defensive tackles taken by this football team.
Yeah, could be. Could be one tomorrow or one tonight and many tomorrow.
Ravens back on the clock tonight. The second day of the draft starts at 7 tonight. Ravens have their own pick in the second and third rounds. And then tomorrow we have rounds 4 through 7. Coming up next, though, if you didn't get enough bone, there's more. Bounce back, fall back. Does Jason's streak continue? We'll find out next here on The Fan.
I'm going to go on a limb and say we've been listening, I can't say witnessing, listening to history in terms of bounce back, fallback.
Ear witnessing.
Yeah, ear witnessing. Jason has won 6 straight. There has been a tie. So it's been 7 consecutive contests without a win by Ken.
I'm the Orioles against lefties.
Yes. Mm. Did Jason pick up a 7th?
That's a good tease bone.
Dean Kramer, Mean Dean. Delivers quality start on Tuesday. He did not. 5 1/3.
Give him 8 extra base hits.
5 earned runs. Jason, you said fallback. He does not get the 6 innings. He didn't get the 6. Can you bounce back?
Yeah.
You're Kenny Sunshine.
Yeah.
Someone's got to do it. Tomoyuki Sugano delivers a quality start against the Nats tomorrow night. Both of you guys bounce back. Jason, you said Wood takes him deep. He did.
Yeah.
Wood, multiple extra base hits. Sugano goes
six. Didn't he have a double, too, in that game?
Nah,
that was the Dean Kramer. Oh, that was the guy, Mean Dean.
Everybody had an extra base hit.
Yes. Someone in the stands had an extra base hit. You thought he would go 6 1/3, 3 earned runs. You did get that. 1 walk, 1 strikeout.
He had no walks.
No walks. He did have 1 strikeout. So that was pretty good.
It was almost perfect, but it was okay.
Jason was okay.
He could go either way.
It's not Jimmy Butler.
It wasn't terrible.
Ryan Mountcastle has just 1 homer this season on April 13th. He homers against the Nats. He did not. Jason, he fell back. He said he'd get a double. He did have 1 hit. It was a single. Can he bounce back?
Yeah.
O's take 2 of 3 against the Nats. They did not. Can he bounce back?
Yeah, I'm going to lose again.
Jason, you fell back. Well, this is where it takes a turn. You would think NBA would be Jason, but hold your horses.
Oh.
Pacers. Yeah, multiple teases within the
I like it.
Pacers cover.
You didn't even mention my mattress yet, but that's all right.
No, I didn't. Pacers cover the 3.5 against the Bucks. They did. 123-115. Jason, you said Pacers by 2. That's a fallback. Can you bounce back?
I did.
Thunder, they cover the 4.
Didn't I say take Pacers over their team total? I'm pretty sure I said that.
I do not have that in my notes. I have some other team totals in here.
Okay.
Not that.
All right.
Thunder, cover the 14.5 against the Grizzlies. They did. 118-99. Both of you guys bounce back. Jason, you said that the Thunder would hang 130 again. You like their team total over 122.5. You thought they would win by 20.
Hmm.
Lakers cover the 5.5 against the Timberwolves. 94-85. They did. Jason, you fell back. Said Lakers win by 3. Can you fell back as well?
Yeah.
Rockets cover the 2.5 against the Warriors. Jason, you fell back. Said the Warriors went outright. The Rockets did cover 109-94. Can you bounce back?
This was game one.
Ken made up. Yes.
No.
Ken. No, that was game two.
Game two.
Rockets won.
Yeah.
Because Warriors won.
Warriors won game one. Sorry.
So Ken won the NBA.
Oh, look at this.
But lost the overall.
I get Sugano's line almost exactly right. I call the James Wood home run off him before the series starts.
You've been on a heater for NBA, so I think Ken winning NBA was
that's right.
That's a good.
Ben, are you listening to this?
5-4.
What is this? This is a Travis Schumachery. Are you kidding me? I'm on an unprecedented heater, and he's giving him half victories.
You 7 straight and a tie.
He basically hidered me.
I called the entire Nets series.
I did. I gave him a look.
We fought. We fought.
He did fight. Yeah. He made a comeback.
He beat me in the NBA by one.
Yes.
I mean, all right. He's
5-4.
So I'm how many now? Eight. What's my streak, Bone?
Seven in a row, eight straight weeks. Tie.
Yeah.
I have not lost one of these in 9 weeks. Four, about a month.
Almost a month, This is unprecedented. Gunner has just one hit over his last four games. Gunner Henderson has four hits over the series. Jason.
I think Gunner's pressing. I think they're all pressing. Boy, I think they could really use a bat like Tony Santander and 44 home runs split between the left and the right side. That might look pretty good in this horse bleep lineup. But he's not walking back into that room. They've got Scooble. The Tigers know how to pitch. Hinch is a great manager. He knows how to play matchups. He'll play matchups before some people in regular season games because that's just how he manages. I think the big ballpark helps him get a couple extra base hits in the gap, but I don't think he gets four in the series. I'm going to say three hits, but maybe two doubles.
Three hits, two doubles. That is a fallback for those at home, Ken.
Bone, we're dying on that Sunshine Hill. This is where Gunner heats up. We're bouncing back.
Tarek Skubal starts against the O's on Sunday. He has allowed two earned runs over his last three starts, which includes the Royals, the Brewers, and the Yankees. The Orioles score low bar, two or more runs against him.
Am I first here?
You are first, yes.
Man, they got to be very productive with their 4-5 hits in this game. Yes. But can one of those hits be a home run? Yes. You know what? I'll say they get to two, Bone. Bounce
get
back.
To two. Jason?
But only going to get five hits.
I'm concerned that the O's might not be able to field a team Sunday because like five or six guys are just going to hop on the last Southwest flight back on Saturday night, and they don't want Hyder to put him in that lineup that they just beat the team flight back, and they're not even in Motown on Sunday.
Oh, jeez.
Tarek Skubal won't go as deep in this game as you might expect because his pitch count's going to be run up by all the guys he's punching out. So Tarek Skubal's going to go 6 2/3. He is going to give up no earned runs. He's going to give up two hits. He is going to strike out
11.
I was going to say 11, but now I'll say 12.
Oh.
12 Ks. You said no earn, correct?
No earn.
Okay, so that is
a fallback
for those at home. Brandon Young, he gets the start tonight.
Yeah.
Brandon Young, Jason, keeps the Orioles in the ballgame in terms of when he leaves. The Orioles will trail by no more than one run.
Negativo.
As a fallback.
I think they trail by three runs when he leaves.
Trail by three runs. Ken?
The sunshine only goes so far. What did he give up? Seven straight base runners in his first turn? He's on the road. Yeah, I can't subscribe to this, Bone. I'm going to fall back. I want to, but
nobody's
I can't.
Buying what you're selling, Bone.
Yeah.
Our buddy, Uncle Charlie, back on the mound tomorrow.
They didn't take him out back yet?
No. He completes four innings.
What?
He went 2 1/3 last time.
Me Ken? First?
Yes.
Man.
Four. What a time Charlie, to be alive.
Yeah. Such a low bar. I'm going to say he completes four of the most painful innings we will have watched in a long time, but he will get to four innings. Bounce back. There will be walks. There will be hits.
Bone. The only thing I'm trying to figure out here is how bad will the other pitchers be around him, and will Hyder be able to go and get him as soon as he should, or will they just try to, you know, get blood from a stone and just let him get destroyed?
Save the bullpen.
Exactly. Throw a pitch, save a cowboy. I don't know.
See what you did there.
Picking up where you're putting down.
He's got a complete four.
Complete yes. four.
I'm going to say 3 2/3.
Wow. Fallback. You guys are different on a lot. All right.
This might be the end.
NBA.
This is where I make my
this
hay.
This is where you come back.
All right. We'll see about that.
Jason. The Celtics cover the 3.5 at the Magic tonight.
As I told you guys before, I do have the Celtics on the money line. I think they win, but I think it's a close game.
Celtics.
I'm gonna say Celtics by two.
By two. That's a fallback. Ken,
what's the number again?
3.5.
Bounce back, Buck.
Yeah.
Bounce back, Buck.
Bucks cover the 5.5 against the Pacers, Ken.
Bucks are favored by 5.5?
Yeah. They're at home.
I'm going to fall back on that one, Bone.
Fall back. Okay. Jason?
Give me them points, Bone. Okay. I do like the Pacers over the team total. I think it's 112.5.
Fall back as well. Like Pacers over team total. You said how much? 112.5. Okay. That's in my notes.
Yes.
Timberwolves cover the 3.5
against
the Lakers.
Don't lose your laptop this weekend.
Well, this is company computer here. Gotcha. Jason, 3.5. Timberwolves.
I like the under in this game. I don't necessarily love a side. I got it at 206. I think you can still find it at 205.5. What is it? 3.5. I'm going to say Timberwolves by 3.
That's a fallback. Timberwolves by 3. Ken.
Bounce back, Bone.
Bounce back, Ken. All right. Warriors cover the 2.5 against the Rockets tomorrow. Ken.
Jimmy Butler's butt hurts. I don't know that he's going to play. He's got a very sore gluteal muscle. I don't think that they can. What's the number again?
2.5.
Warriors by 2.5. Yes. I think the Rockets win this game outright.
Oh, yeah, I wish we knew. I'm staying away from this game until we know more about Jimmy's status. I'm going to agree with my fine feathered friend. I think the Rockets win. If there's no Jimmy Butler, the Rockets win this game.
Warner will let you know. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll talk NBA playoffs some more with our buddy, longtime NBA insider Mo Hamilton, get his thoughts on the playoffs thus far. But coming up next, day two of the NFL draft tonight, rounds 2 and 3. What positions do we think the Ravens are going to grab this evening? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan. Day two of the NFL draft begins tonight at 7, rounds 2 and 3. Rounds 4 through 7 are tomorrow afternoon. But the Ravens, 2 picks tonight, their own pick in the second and the third round. And Jason, obviously the board falls the way the board falls, but what do you think the Ravens would like to come away with this evening?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think if they took a linebacker, I would not be surprised. If they took a quarterback tonight, I would not be surprised. If they took an offensive lineman tonight, I would not be surprised. I wonder if the run on the edge starts more, I'm sorry, the D-tackle thing starts more end of the third round and
yeah,
then into the real sort of meat of this draft, and maybe just because of where they're picking and because of who's already going to be picked and who they think's still going to be there Saturday. If as good as and rich as that position group is, as much of a need as it is, I'm not sure it gets addressed with this next pick and maybe not even, you know, the one after that. I mean, if Amanwari was still there, could they
double up? I can't see that.
Yeah, that
now, I can see them do a corner.
Another safety?
You can find ways to play these guys together. Whew. I mean, our Darius Washington's a nice football player. Darius Washington is not a physical freak.
Sure, no, he's not.
He's a contributing football player. He doesn't have the upside.
But I think to go down that hypothetical rabbit hole, it depends what else is sitting on the board with him. And
well, a lot of good stuff can't be there if he's still there.
Oh, I hear you.
But what are the odds he falls to 27?
I don't know.
For what it's worth, I just pulled up NFL.com's best players available, according to them, going into tonight. And it may not surprise you that Nick Amanwari is their number one player left on the board.
It doesn't. And I'm surprised he got through. But no, this is an inexact science.
Yes.
So, like, if there's a run on quarterbacks, if there's a run on remaining D tackles and edge, there haven't been many corners that have come off the board, so it just stands to reason they will. There could be a couple of running backs who get taken. There will be at least one. I don't know, man. Like, I'm just thinking out loud. You have to be prepared for any scenario. could you let a kid as analytically inclined as they are, and as much as we've documented going into the draft and all this week and yesterday and now after they took Starks, that they will always, all things being equal, line into hybrid defender who can affect the ball in flight in a multitude of ways. And that kid with that twitch and speed at 6'3"?
Bone, for what it's worth, NFL.com's top five still available. Nick Amonwari's one. Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, two. Shedeur Sanders, three. Mike Green, the pass rusher from Marshall, four. And then Joy Taylor's nephew, Mason Taylor, the tight end from LSU, is five. So
is that her nephew?
Yes, it's Jason Taylor's kid.
Jason Taylor's kid. Yeah.
For me, ideally, if everything was equal, I would like to see the Ravens come out of tonight with either a defensive line, edge rusher type player, and an offensive lineman. I think this offensive line needs some depth. It would be good to have a young guy with some upside, a day two pick along that offensive line. And they need to address the defensive line and edge significantly. And I expect them to. They have 10 picks to go. But it would be nice to see more of a premium pick at that position.
Yeah. I mean, look, if they do go D-tackle, Alfred Collins, TJ Sampson could be two kids to keep an eye on. I really like the UCLA linebacker, Carson Schweisinger. I don't think they could pass on him.
Yeah. Like him a lot.
And we'll see. Maybe there's... You know, we kind of thought the kid from BC might go last night.
He's number six tonight.
I wouldn't think he lasts very long tonight, but you never know.
Azaraku.
Azaraku.
Yeah, he's six on that list, right behind Joy Taylor's nephew on the big board. So I am surprised he's still there because people, not the Ravens, but other teams.
I'm touching that with a 10-foot pole. You don't know me very well.
No, I'm talking about Azaraku.
He's still there. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah. Anyway, I'm surprised Azaraku is still there because teams value, not the Ravens, but teams value edge.
Edge is good.
It's good pass rush.
Nobody appreciates pass rush as much as Eric DaCosta. He just won't invest draft capital in it, and he's not going to pay for it.
Could you see the Ravens if these like Ohio State running backs are still on the board when they pick? Is that something they could look into?
I think at least one of them's gone before they pick. I mean, that feels a little rich to me.
That's what I'm saying. If that,
because they produce them every year.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
if they take a running back that high, they don't think Keaton Mitchell is going to be the guy that he was prior to the knee injury. That's what that tells me.
Could they take a primary return specialist tonight?
Oh, Harbs
wants it. Didn't they take Yamon Figures in the third round? Was he a third rounder?
Third or fourth. Yeah.
He was a third rounder.
He was fun. He was like 75 pounds.
Yeah. Fast. Yeah.
He's even a lower weight class than Nate Wiggins,
yes.
I think.
Yeah. No, Nate Wiggins is fat.
I don't think they would let
Figures.
Nate Wiggins wrestle Yamon Figures, because I think Yamon Figures was like 135.
Yeah.
Nate Wiggins is like 160. That's not a fair fight.
NFL draft restarts tonight at 7 o'clock, rounds 2 and 3, and then tomorrow afternoon is the rest of the
draft. You and Vinny aren't going to do the work. You guys did such a good job last night. I was half thinking they might put you on the rest of the draft.
We did.
I really would like to hear you guys on like pick 271.
Whoever that is, he's got the whole thing. Yeah, you got a lot of picks because you got the comp picks, so it goes on forever. But no, just night one. We just do the night one extravaganza.
You should go over his house, like I don't know, like 11 a.m. Sunday, and just do it. You guys should just podcast an hour.
Just
pick a random hour of the draft, and you and Vinny just knock it out by the pool. Yeah. Yes.
If I wasn't already planning to go to the castle tomorrow,
you could go to his crab cake spot.
Yeah.
You guys should do that.
Yeah. We could do it at
Boxell. I don't want to tell you how to run your weekend.
Have some pizza.
I would listen. Could you get it on the Odyssey app? If they could put that on the Odyssey app, I would listen to it from Mateo's game on Sunday.
From what part of Maryland are you going to be in?
No, we're at Fulton. Home game Sunday.
Tomorrow
I'm in like Millersville.
Yeah.
Then I'm in Boyd's next weekend.
Boyd's Maryland. That's made up.
That doesn't exist.
That's made up.
I'm thinking it's Germantownish. I'm thinking it's a ways out there. I'm thinking like you have to mess with 270. Anytime you have to mess with 270, that's a bad day.
Coming off my domination of Jason and NBA bounce back fallback, we will talk more NBA basketball with our friend, longtime NBA insider Mo Hamilton. What does he think of the playoffs thus far? We're going to ask him next here on The Fan.